Aren't you interested in learning breakthrough wealth building strategies, such as how to flip a home in less than 2 weeks using other people's money with no real estate license, or how to build a low-cost home-based business? You can discover how to take passive income from any source and invest it into real estate, stocks, or business to become financially independent investing in any market with Residual Roads Business Institute. Collaborate with Andre and other Residual Roads advisors to create a free action plan and start implementing strategies today. Go to www.residualroads.com or email info@residualroads.com. Welcome to the Investing Uncensored podcast. You've been searching for different ways to become financially independent or generate passive income to live out your life's purpose as you've seen others do it, but need insight on how. Well, get excited because here you'll discover the tips and resources to fulfill that need. Andre Stewart has spent more than a decade successfully making it happen for himself and others. This is the Investing Uncensored podcast. And now here's your host, Andre Stewart.
Welcome to another episode of Investing Uncensored. I'm your host, Andre Stewart. And today I want to just dive deeper into what's going on in the economy and what's going on with Silicon Valley Bank and all these other banks and the bank runs that are taking place. If you guys can remember, maybe like 5 months ago, or maybe even a year ago, I said that the next economic collapse is going to be worse because of social media. And that's kind of what's taking place because the bank run on Silicon Valley Bank, it was a solid bank. There was nothing wrong with what Silicon Valley Bank did. So as you guys know by now, that they had a $1.8 billion loss that they were going to take once they sold those assets, which in the grand scheme of things is really not a big deal. I mean, they had $215 billion in assets. They had $175 billion in deposits. So in essence, they had a surplus of assets. So they could have easily sold those assets and been able to take care of the depositors. But in this case, because they took a $1 billion loss, people were saying that the bank was insolvent because they obviously didn't have the liquid assets available. So they decided to sell some assets to be able to, you know, pay for the deposits that were leaving. So the deposits that were leaving, the people were just having to spend more money within their businesses, which makes sense because inflation's higher. So they were burned. It's called a burn rate. Every business or even people, you have a burn rate. And it's based on how much money you have in your account. So just say you have $2,000 in your account and your expenses are $400, then you can kind of do the math on what your burn rate is going to be, because by the time you run out of $2,000, based on the $400 that you're spending every month, that's your burn rate. And that's kind of like your runway. So the bank's business clients were just spending most of the money that they had, and the bank didn't have that many deposits available because they invested them in assets. And you know what? As a business, everyone does this. You have money that's in your bank account and you take that money and you choose to invest it into the stock market. And if something happens, you need more cash, you have to sell your stocks to be able to put more money back into your account. That's in essence what the bank did. Whether it's good or bad, that's what they did. And so they were technically insolvent, as someone say, but they had the assets to be able to sell and put the money back into the account if they needed it. They just couldn't do it in enough time. And so that's what happened with the banks collapsing. But the reason this was so bad, and I'm sure you guys know this by now, it was because people went to Twitter and started tweeting about getting your money out of the bank. And if you guys remember a year ago, I said this collapse is going to be so much worse because back in the day, information would only spread through the newspaper or people watching the news. And so you have to be a specific type of person to do either of those. But majority of the people are on social media, whether it be Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, you are looking at something. So the news is going to hit you. In this particular case, VC firms told their clients to get their money out of the bank. And that's what made this collapse happen so much faster than it did in 2008 or 2000. And anytime we've had a collapse previously in history, it took a little bit longer. And that's why you see this collapse happening so fast. I believe 5 banks have already closed. In the last podcast I did, and you guys know, like I said, when I put my podcast out there, generally pretty late because I have to get them edited or whatnot. But I just mentioned Silvergate Bank as the bank that had collapsed, because at that time I saw Silvergate Bank collapse that Monday. And then I saw something about, you know, Greg Becker, who was the CEO of SVB. He tweeted on Wednesday night, and I saw that too. I didn't think a big deal. And then Thursday happened, and then Friday. So I saw these things happening too, but I didn't see that it was going to cascade with the bank collapsing so fast because it's a great bank. But that just shows you what I said a year ago, that this collapse is going to be way more epic because of social media. And so now information is spreading like wildfire, and that's causing other people to, you know, pull their money out of their banks. And I call this herd mentality. In the book, Epitome of the Mind, that is coming out, I'm going to release it at the end of next month, probably. I talk about people doing what other people are doing, and it's called a herd mentality. And that mentality comes from social media. If you see 100 people doing something, then obviously that 100 people are doing something right. And so that is what people's perception is. So because someone said something and 100 people or maybe even 50 or 40 people did it, that made it be like, oh my God, this is right. And in all actuality, it was not right. The bank could have took a hit of $1.8 billion in a loss because they obviously had the assets to be able to cover it. But when you have people saying, go get your money out of the bank is collapsing, the bank is insolvent. Yeah, this is why you have what we have right now. But the damage is already done and it's here. And again, I talk about this in the book as well. I don't hate social media, but I do hate what social media has done to the world. And I think we're starting to see the effects of that. But I'm also hearing people on social media complain about what the federal government has done to, they want to say, it's a bailout. They say, oh, it's a bailout. It's not really a bailout. Like, they had assets. So you sell the assets, and the assets that were bought with the people who brought the money to the bank. So they're essentially just selling the assets to pay the people back. It's their money. So people are upset that the bank is bailing out these banks because these banks are people that have money, or they're billionaires, or they're businesses. And they're like, oh, well, they're bailing out the corporate America again. Yeah. They're bailing out corporate America again, but I don't think people are understanding that the reason why the federal government is doing this is because if these corporations collapse, it's going to cascade into the economy with people losing their job. So people are so focused on the negative or whatever they perceive is the bad part of these, you know, government bailing out the bank. But if the government didn't bail out the bank, then you know how many people that are on payroll? Like, so for instance, SVB, 8,700 people are going to lose their jobs. And if you look at the clients of SVB, 97% of those clients were businesses. So think about that. If people don't want to buy those assets, and some banks are now starting to buy the assets from the bank, if they don't want to take on some of those debt facilities that people use to make payroll, look at all the people that are going to lose their jobs. So people are so focused on, you know, the negative things that they're not really looking at what the effect is going to be if the bank then step in and decide to backstop whatever assets that the banks have. So the only thing that the bank is, or the Federal Reserve is doing, if you have assets, and again, it's a form of quantitative easing, which people are having an issue with. It's like, it's going to create more inflation, people are saying. But in essence, what's happening is if you have a house and you have, say you have a business and you got a loan from a bank, what the Federal Reserve is doing is basically backstopping. If you have an asset, they're going to basically take that asset, liquidate it to cover your loss. So, I mean, is it really a bad thing if this particular company that they're doing this for, or bank they're doing it for, houses maybe, let's say, 3,000 companies? So it seems like people would rather the bank fail and let those 3,000 companies go out of business. And who knows how many employees that those 3,000 people or businesses have. So it's just like, don't look at what they're doing. And this goes back to people understanding economics. These people are trying to save the global economy. It ain't the fact that they're trying to save the bank. They're trying to save the underlying cause so that we don't have a systemic issue into the economy, because the economy is already bad. So if you let a bank fail that had 4,000 business clients, and they each had, let's say they had 3,000 or 4,000 employees, or even 500 employees. That's still a lot of employees. So you do the math on that. So imagine how bad that would be for the economy. So, you know, there's so many different narratives are going around about what the government is doing, or the Fed, like the Fed is doing, but they're not looking at the greater picture of if they didn't do that, what would happen? So not only would we have a bank collapse, we would have high unemployment. We would basically be like 1929. So we would have food lines. We would have all these different things. And so I don't think you guys should listen to what they're saying in the media and just take it for what they're saying. Like I said, don't have the herd mentality. If you hear what someone's saying, form your own opinion. You know, take the extra step to do your own due diligence, and we won't have these kind of things. Obviously, the economy was already doing bad because of high inflation and high interest rates. But now, because of that bank run, that just went to, it could have stayed at one bank. It could have actually never even happened. This was a great company for 40 years. So we know they could have weathered the storm because they had over maybe 30 billion in assets over what they had in deposits. So had this not happened, we wouldn't have this cascading effect into other banks. The banking crisis was inevitable because we have a lot of debt, but banks also have more cash now than they ever had before. But if they went out there and took that money like SVB did and bought mortgage-backed securities or treasuries like they were told, then we could have had this. It could have been a little bit further out, but it could have been further out when the Fed was going to start dropping rates. So then their assets that they bought could have increased in value. So the loss could have been weathered by all of these banks. But now, since it happened, I don't want to say premature, technically it was, but since it happened and now we have this cascading effect in other banks, there's a lot going, man. Like on my last podcast, I talked about the fact that some of the lenders that I'm using are drying up. Signature Bank was connected to one of the lenders that I use, and now Signature Bank is closed. So that's going to be another lender that's falling down. So that's going to affect other businesses and investors or people who have their own businesses. So like, in essence, what the bank did with investing people's money, when you have a business and you have excess capital, you try to invest that capital in order for the money to grow. So your business continue to grow. So anybody that's thinking, oh, well, you shouldn't be doing that as a business, you should leave all the money in the account or whatever. You obviously, if you have a, you obviously have a job, you either have a job or you have a business. And so either way, you as a person, you need to be investing your funds because of high inflation so that your money will grow. That's why you put it in a savings account. And banks or businesses do the same thing. You have to do this in order for your business to sustain. Whether the amount of leverage you use, the bank might have been over leveraged and they should have kept some of that liquid, but because they don't have a reserve requirement anymore because of the pandemic, they don't have to have a certain amount of the bank, which they should have. But all I'm saying is what they did is in essence what all people do when they have excess capital, or what you should be doing if you want to make sure that your money grows and it's not sitting there. They might have been over leveraged with having too much, but it's pretty standard practice if you're an investor or if you have a business to, you know, use some of those funds so that it's growing and it's not sitting there. But it's unfortunate that social media took a hold of the business space. And now, so like, you know, the perception of a person having a business is so bad. But in order for you to have a job, a person has to have a business, or you have to have a business if you need income coming in.
Have you ever thought to yourself, I wish I could get into real estate investing? You can change this as quickly or as slowly as you want to now. Imagine yourself networking and making new connections in real estate globally, or buying an investment property in a market or country that fits your needs. People do. They know what I'm talking about, and now you can too with InvestFar. Connect and join the network. Remote investing made safe and easy.
This narrative that goes around about, you know, punishing business owners or a good job that bank failed or why are you doing this, it's all connected. Everybody's interconnected because a business owner has employees and the bank gets the money from the business owner to pay the employees, and the bank borrows money from the government to be able to do mortgages. Or you see what I'm saying? It's all interconnected. So if something breaks, which is what the Fed was trying to do to make sure what they were doing was working, that's going to break the entire economy. So make the connection that don't be out here rooting for businesses to fail or banks to fail, because that's going to affect you. That's going to be a big deal. So that's kind of why on my last podcast, I said this is going to be a big deal, because if it's a systemic issue and it starts to happen in all banks, you know, everybody banks somewhere. Every business banks somewhere. Yeah, so I don't know, man. I don't know why people are out here cheering and making it seem like this is a bad thing that the Fed has stepped in to bail out banks or do this backstop to where they take assets as collateral and sell them and give you the money in advance. Yeah, I guess they would just rather you guys go hungry for a week or 2 weeks until the bank or the FDIC comes in and figures it out. Like, you know what I mean? So I don't know, man. Don't listen to the narrative, man. And don't do what people are doing. Don't have the herd mentality and just go with the 100 people. Because the 100 people, 9 times out of 10, based on what we got going on with social media, they might not be right. They're just going to base it off of what Susie said on TikTok. And Susie don't have anything to know or anything to do with the economy or know anything about nothing. Susie just probably made $100 and now she's like, oh, I'm a stock wizard. You know what I mean? So all these influencers out here, check their background. What school do they go to or what kind of business do they have? Or are they economics majors? Even then, that doesn't matter. But just check the people that you're getting your information from and seeing if they have the backing to back it up versus just going out here and making the decision based on that. And with these VC companies that told their clients to go pull their money out of the bank, I understand that because, you know, when you get money from an investor, that investor more than likely has borrowed that money from the bank or somewhere else. So they got to pay their lender back just like you got to pay that VC back. And so I understand why these companies that had portfolio companies that banked at SVB told them to take their clients' money out, because if I wrote you a check for $5 million, I want to see a return on that. And if that bank collapsed with my money in there that I gave you, then you're not going to be able to run your business. And then you're not going to be able to do what you said you're going to do. And that's going to be a problem. So not only am I going to fail, you're going to fail. And the person that I got the money from, as if I'm a VC in this case, they're going to fail. And so then the person that they got the money from, whether it be the bank or the Federal Reserve, they're going to fail. So it's an issue all the way around. And that's why I think you guys should just pay attention to what's going on. Understand it from an economic standpoint and don't just, you know, go with what they're saying. So, I mean, if you're following the news, then, you know, Credit Suisse is on its way out. But Credit Suisse has been on its way out for about 6 months. And a lot of these things I've seen, and I just haven't mentioned it because, like I said, the economy has been doing bad for a while, but it was just chugging along. And so Credit Suisse is already on the brink. And if you guys don't know, that's kind of like a Fannie Mae and Freddie type of situation to where if that goes, then it's going to be a really bad issue for the economy. So pay very close attention to that one. And all of them are bad, but that pay attention to that one because that's tied to credit. Obviously, we have a lot of debt and people are over leveraged on their credit. And another thing I want to point out is that I told you guys this as well. Walmart stores are closing. I think they've already closed. I think it might have been up to 20 stores so far since I mentioned it to you guys. And I said a good indication is Walmart stores closing, because at that time, the CEO came out and said he's going to have to start closing Walmart stores because people were stealing and the stores are underperforming. And I said, if Walmart stores start to close because people are stealing from discount stores, that is a big indication that the economy is very, very bad. And you can see with Walmart closing stores, with this bank collapsing, with 5 banks collapsing this week, and I know, like I said, myself, 4 lenders that have all gone out of business, that is very, very telling, man. So, you know what? I'm not a doom and gloom type of person. I'm just telling facts, and you can take it how you want to take it. But, you know, if you go back and you listen to some of my podcasts and you cross-reference it with the economy and you cross-reference it with what other people are saying, I'm not really doom and gloom, and I'm just telling what the statistics are. So it's up to you to do your own due diligence and figure out if what I'm saying is correct so you can be prepared. But I'm not out here trying to scare people. I just want to give people facts and then they can go and make their own moves on how they see fit for themselves, right? You got to take care of your own personal economy. And so I'm just here to try to give you guys or educate you guys on what I'm seeing, how it's affected me, how it's affected other people that I know who have businesses, and what that looks like for you long term. So guys, if you're looking at what's going on, I mean, you see the stock market dropping, and the last time this happened in 2008, it was falling like, you know, 500, 600 points a day. Right now, this is a different environment because 2008, we didn't have Robin Hoods. We didn't have all these Ameritrades where you can trade or regular people can trade from their phones. So it's really tricky to know what to invest in right now because there's some good buying opportunities. For instance, First Republic Bank, that's a really good bank. They have really no issues, but because of what's going on with the banking sector, people are taking a run on that stock. that's going to be a great performing stock. So you could buy it. It's almost 60% off. You know what I mean? So looking at all these other things, even like oil and gas, today is the March 15th. Gas is under, or it's at like $70. And we know oil and gas is getting hit. There's an energy crisis. So, you know, I don't know if I would be hopping in right now because the market is so volatile, but I'd be paying attention to some things that you can hop into, find buying opportunities. I would try to let this settle out. I mean, they're going to talk about raising rates, or we're going to know if they're going to raise rates next week. If they do 0.25, which they probably will instead of 0.5, because they want to maintain what they said. If the Federal Reserve comes out next week and they don't do a rate hike, be prepared for some calamity in the overall economy, because people are going to lose 100% confidence because they keep saying we have high inflation. And if they say we're going to stay the course, we're not going to drop rates. If they don't do that, then people are going to lose all confidence because they're going to know something's wrong. So that's when I would probably wait to start buying. I would probably wait about 2 weeks out after they come out and say what they're going to say. Just, you know, take notice of, if you can watch that meeting, or at least what Powell says, pay attention to what he says, because they have to raise rates. They have to continue to do it, even if it's at 0.25, just because of the fact that we still have high inflation. So I think he's just stuck between a rock and a hard place with a banking system that looks like it's collapsing because of social media, because people are saying these banks are not good, which is not the case. But he has to fight against that. And then in addition to that, and I'm saying these banks could not be good. They could all have one of them bought mortgage-backed securities or these bad treasuries for 10 years. And now with the raising rates, it's affected those assets. Nonetheless, you know what? Who knows that? No one knows that, except unless someone goes out on social media and posts the bank's information, then boom, it goes like that. But anyway, with them having high inflation, they have to keep doing this, because what we don't want them to do is start doing quantitative easing. Because if they start putting money back into the system, then we're going to have hyperinflation. So I would much rather us have deflation and dropping prices. And then we have some people that are struggling, because if we go into hyperinflation, it's going to be the same thing. The collapse will be similar, but the money that we have won't be able to purchase things like it is right now, but it'll be out of control. So we'll have both, rather than having some of the parts of the economy that are in deflation and is hurting, but at least the prices will be coming down and at least our money will still be able to buy certain things. But both of them are bad either way it goes. So I'd much rather them try to figure out how to, you know, bring inflation down versus the overall market having hyperinflation, because then we'd be like Venezuela or Zimbabwe or something like that. But if assets are lower, we can at least get other countries to potentially buy in, or we might have people that have money that can still stimulate the economy, things like that. But if we go the opposite way, then the value of our money would be worthless, and then we'd have a really sticky situation. So I guess you can kind of decide on which one you think would be better. Deflation, where prices are coming down, our money's turning around and is worth a little bit more, or would you have hyperinflation where the cost of everything is through the roof and your money doesn't even matter? So, guys, I just wanted to hop on here and give you my outlook on what I think is going on with the social media situation, with what's going on with the banking crisis, and just in general, pay attention to what you got going on and not what people are saying. And The Epitome of the Mind, the book comes out next month. I think it's going to be a great book. It has nothing to do with real estate. I talk about the economy. I talk about how you guys can generate revenue with what's going on right now. I also talk about financial literacy, because I think that's a big issue. Because if people had more education on finances, what's taking place right now would have not taken place to the level of what it did. You can't control what corporate greed does, you know, what they're trying to do with the money that they get from us. But we can at least limit our exposure to what they do with corporate greed and the banking system. So guys, be on the lookout for the book and limit your time on social media. Like I always say that, man, spend more time educating yourself on the economy, the global economy, how to invest and how to diversify your situation. So you're not one of those people that has their money tied up in the bank for a week or 2 weeks, or maybe not getting the money back at all. So until next time, guys, take care.
Aren't you ready to start a business or grow your real estate investing portfolio? If you answered yes, allow Andre and the expert advisors at the Residual Roads Business Institute to fast track and put you on a path to full-time investing. The greatest transfer of wealth in our lifetime is occurring over the next few years, and you can take advantage if you know what to look for. In order to be successful at real estate investing, you need to learn how to leverage your current resources to generate quick money, big money, and retirement money. Let Residual Roads advisors craft a plan to get you through these phases using little or no money in 6 months or less. Don't wait for a job. Create one for yourself and others. Go to residualroads.com for mentorship, and for our free course, go to residualroads.thinkific.com.